Facebook kinds of, they give it away, right? I mean, Facebook pages are free. It says they always will be. But before Facebook, what'd you do? You called your friends, right? You called your family. You sent emails to loved ones, letters, maybe the occasional fax to stay in touch. Boy, that sounds ancient. Were those priceless moments of contact with loved ones that you had back then? Or are they more of a blur? Were they kind of a pain? So if you had to calculate the value of each of those interactions, what would you come up with? How hard would that be? Now that they're all aggregated in one Facebook page, what's the value? Is it all of the interactions? Is it the convenience of being able to do it all in one place? What is the value of Facebook? We've been asking you that question all week long as we anticipate Facebook's IPO tomorrow. Listener Kerr Luttrell writes, the value is up to the user. Some wouldn't use it for toilet paper, whereas others couldn't live without it, which is not too far from the view of a lot of professional stock analysts.
Valuation is half analysis and half art, and because there are very few facts, in Facebook's case, there are not too many metrics that you would look at. It sort of falls into that art realm, and there you're making evaluations of things like character and trying to assess opportunity, you know, lockstep with management and hoping that you're seeing the same things that they are in terms of opportunity.
That's Jason Voss, an analyst with the CFA Institute, speaking to our partner, the BBC. Is he saying that you value Facebook in the same way that you value a Jackson Pollock? Oh, my goodness. Joining us now is Ralph Foles. He's the CEO of WordStream, a Boston-based software company. Ralph, welcome to the program.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
So what is the gold standard for IPO valuation in the post-tech bubble world? What company, what story does Facebook look at?
I think they probably look at Google. You know, Google, very similar, had a great service. It was providing a search engine to users. In the beginning, it was all about the service. You know, there weren't very many ads on Google. But that's probably what I think they look at. Been quite successful over time.
All right. So Google did that very, very well. Let me just say, the Google situation seems to me fundamentally different from Facebook in one important way. And tell me if I'm overthinking this. When you go to search, you're kind of in a browse mode. You're sort of, you may have a specific question, but you're sort of open to messages coming in, which would include advertising messages. On Facebook, you're more talking to your family and your loved one. And if I'm sitting there talking to my family and my loved ones and my friends, and somebody comes up and wants to sell me a car, I tell them to get lost. Isn't that a harder advertising model for Facebook than Google?
I think you said that very well. I think when people go to Google, let's use the car example. If I'm in Google and I search for SUV reviews or Consumer Report car reviews or even a brand name like Ford or GM, there's a lot of intent. Intent is the word I would use. There's a lot of intent behind my searches, and Google's able to marry that up with advertisers who want to reach people with that intent. For example, reach people buying a car. But in Facebook, I think most people go there to socially interact with their friends and family, and they're not in that intent kind of mood.
Is that GM's rationale for pulling its $10 million ad account from Facebook? I mean, they do have Facebook pages. You can go to the SUV page or the BMW page or the, you know, the Ford Focus page.
You know, an advertiser like GM probably has, you know, multiple goals for using Facebook. One might just be branding and the fan page and being able to show great content about their cars and so forth, generate interest. But I think that the part they likely canceled is more of what I would call the direct response part of their budget. You know, they allocated $10 million. They probably hoped to get a certain amount of people in the showrooms test driving cars. And Facebook's not a great platform for that as of yet.
We talked yesterday about the difficulty monetizing mobile that everyone is having, including Facebook. And Facebook has already said that, you know, their growth is going to be in mobile over the next 5 years. We've sort of talked about that already. Facebook officials and analysts are talking a little bit about monetizing something else, and that is the use of Facebook data as a way of targeting ads to individuals elsewhere on the internet. Now, is that a brilliant idea in your view, or does it say to investors, the way we're going to make money, we haven't invented yet, but we're working on it, which seems to me not terribly reassuring?
Well, two comments there. I think the idea of following you around on the internet is actually already in use today. It's something called remarketing, and you may already notice it when you use Google. If you know, back to the example I gave before, if you are searching for cars or you visit GM's website, you may notice ads for GM cars as you're looking at other sites on
sure.
the web.
Yep.
So I think Facebook logically might add something as well. The thing you have to remember about Facebook is they built their company to create the world's most largest social network, and they've been dramatically successful at that. They are really at version 1.0 of monetizing or their advertising platform. It's very basic today.
All right, here's a basic question. If there was the technological capability of projecting images onto the sky rather than having to actually put up a billboard, the value of a billboard is clear. You have to buy the real estate. It's a platform. You put ads on it, and you know the number of people that look at it. But if there weren't any billboards, if you could actually do it in the sky, kind of like Facebook does, would you value the sky in some way? Is that the difficulty of Facebook, in that it constitutes a kind of almost a common carrier, air itself?
That's an interesting question. I would look at it this way. If I was valuing Facebook, the thing I would look at is they have tremendous reach, right? So, you know, our estimate is, 51% of all internet users touch Facebook in some way. And they know a lot about you. They know where you went to school. They know your marital status. They know your age. And there's powerful data there to do targeting. It's just not fully being realized yet.
If they reach $41 a share in the IPO tomorrow, it will be the biggest IPO in U.S. history. Think they have a chance to do that?
I think they probably do.
Really? So is it worth it? Is this the most important $100 billion valuation company in the tech world right now?
Hard to say. I when I look at the valuation estimates, they seem incredibly large to me. I mean, it's really betting on Facebook gets, I mentioned they're at 1.0 of monetizing their advertising. You know, the bet is that they get to 5.0 and 6.0 and have very sophisticated ad platform, and they can drive a lot of revenue. That seems a couple of years away for me. That's not simple to do. It took Google quite a few years to get it right.
But so they definitely got it right, and a lot of people made money. Ralph Foles, CEO of WordStream, Boston-based software company in search marketing. Thanks so much, Ralph.
Thanks for having me.